the Fantasy Casting Agency podcast. Today we're featuring Flash Gordon. Hi, I'm Ron, and I'll be your host today. And joining me is the delightful, the delicious, the lovely, the non-fan, non-boy, yin to my yang. Martine!
Thanks, Ron. What a wonderful welcome, and glad to be here with you today.
Thank you to everybody who gave us feedback about our first ever podcast. One of the feedbacks that everyone gave was that I forgot to actually include you in the intro, which we actually did, but then you got cut out on the editing floor. So I do apologise, and thank you for giving me a second chance and having you on our podcast today.
Well, that's okay. I've been in counselling all week for that, Ron, and I've decided to come back and give you another chance. So,
well, thank you very much, and I'll make sure I include some really applause and trumpets and everything just to make that your intro just that little bit more special.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Your feedback really helps us improve the show, and as is your show as well, and we want you to participate and get involved. We do appreciate it when people give us some constructive feedback, so thank you. And one of the other pieces of feedback we got was the fact that I hadn't actually explained who I was and what I'm all about. So as to who I am, I'm a fan of all things pop culture, whether it be reading comic books. I'm very much into science fiction and fantasy, and I love movies. One of the things I do every time I read a book is I actually imagine who could play that person or play that character in a movie or in a remake. One of our earlier conversations a number of years ago was when we were watching the movie Where Eagles Dare, starring Richard Burton and Clint Eastwood. And I pondered to you, who could actually play that Richard Burton character now, being he was such a unique actor, unique build, unique presence, who could actually play that now? And we pondered it for a long time before you actually gave an answer. What was your answer?
Well, I think from memory, Daniel Craig was my pick for that one.
It was, and that was a really good pick. So that, to me, that was very interesting and an interesting conversation. And that conversation has now led to the Fantasy Casting Agency podcast. So let's get into it. Today we're looking at Flash Gordon. Now, Flash Gordon originally was a comic strip from the 1930s by Alex Raymond, and according to Wikipedia, which of course we can trust 100%, was actually created to compete with Buck Rogers, which makes sense. Since then, it's been made into TV series, most recently in 2007 and 2008, but also back in 1954-55 with Steve Holland as Flash Gordon was a black and white TV series that used to be on Channel 9, I think, at 5 o'clock in the morning. So that was my first experiences with Flash Gordon. He's also been in lots of cartoons and cartoon movies. He's been involved in various teams as they grouped him up along the way in the cartoons. And also very well known in movie serials from the late 1930s. Now, movie serials were pre-television, where people used to go to the cinema and each week watching the new episode of Tarzan and Flash Gordon and Zorro and shows like that.
And I think some of our parents or probably even grandparents would be able to recollect some of those series as well.
Prior to that, they would have been sitting around a while listening to the radio serials, which were also very popular. And an example of one of the movie serials from the 1930s is actually up on the website. I found it on YouTube and I've put a link on there. So if someone wants to actually go back and have a look, they will see how it correlates to the 1980 movie Flash Gordon, which I believe had very similar storyline and effects. My experience with Flash Gordon is back in 1983 when I was in high school. It first came out on TV. I didn't actually get to see it in the movies. And all the kids at school were talking about it, and it was going to be the big Sunday night movie. Unfortunately, my curfew bedtime was 7:30, and my parents made me go to bed at 7:30. So I got to listen to Flash Gordon through the wall as the old man got to watch it. And I didn't get to experience until a couple of years later when it actually came out on then video, and we had a Betamax, so it took a while for me to get it on Betamax. And obviously I wore that tape out as a kid in the 80s. It's showing you how old I am. And most recently, we got the DVD.
Well, I think if if I reflect on some of that, given that there was a few what seemed like little, well, I guess mild S&M scenes throughout the movie today, as well as some of the outfits from some of the female cast members, they didn't really leave a lot to be to the imagination. So as a young boy, you might have been quite strongly influenced, so maybe your dad was just being a little bit cautious in letting you see some of those shows.
Well, actually, it's interesting you say that, because when I watched it a second time this week with the commentary from the director, he said that a lot of people from that day, when they were reading those comic strips, a lot of the young guys, that was their first touch of sexuality or essence of sexuality, which is why Flash Gordon was actually really popular in the day. It was their virtual teen pornography, because it was overtly sexual, and I think that is actually forms part of the series and why the movie itself was overtly sexual. But you hadn't seen the movie before, Marty?
No, that's right.
As a non-fan, non-boy, can you please give us your assessment?
Okay, so today I had the, let's say it's the privilege of watching the 1980s version of the DVD. I guess where I'd like to start with that is, obviously, it is a bit dated when you see the calibre of the movies coming out at the moment. I did manage to get all the way through it, even though I'm not a fan, not a boy, and it was a little bit of effort to do that. But if we think about some of the key parts of that, it was obviously okay in its time, but if we thought about some of the effects that you could put into a similar type movie today, the psychedelic-ish move into the universe, technology, especially in 3D, could make that an excellent part of the movie. And as for overacting, well, I think it gets about 5 out of 5 stars for that as well. Ron?
When it comes to doing a remake of Flash Gordon, you've got two ways to go. One movie version, like the 80s movie, which was very tongue-in-cheek. It appealed to a European audience because it was so, not really to an American audience. So the Flash Gordon movie wasn't overly successful in the US, but made its money around the world. It was very campy, and I actually like it for that. It's very tongue-in-cheek, it's very Princess Bride-ish. So it's the Princess Bride of science fiction. I think if they do a remake, though, they might need to do what The Dark Knight did to the 1960s Batman, and just put it aside and remake it in the darker vein. Because I think that's what audiences are into now. Star Trek, the remake of Star Trek recently was a little bit like that. They went that little bit darker and took a little bit more seriously. And I actually think if they did Flash Gordon a little bit more seriously, it would get a bigger audience around the world.
And I think also if you have it on the camp side, you might be sort of pulling part of your audience potential away by moving to a more adult format. You'll also still have the kids coming to see it or the traditional fanboy collection of people, but you might also have a little bit on the side for, you know, your adult female and adult male characters if it's a bit more of a mature movie.
Yeah, no, I agree.
But part of the purpose of us being here is to talk about the characters and who we would think in a modern day environment would be able to play some of those characters.
We're actually looking at it being a more adult movie and appealing to the fans of the 80s movies who are in their 30s and 40s today and to a new audience who don't know Flash Gordon, who are used to the more modern Dark Knight type movie, which has proved to be successful for this generation. So I think for it to work, it needs to be in that vein.
So Ron, have you got sort of a starting point of where we'd like to go with Flash?
Well, the very first starting point you should go to is Flash Gordon.
Okay, I guess when I was looking at the film today, some of the things that I pulled out about the Flash character was that you'd obviously be needing to have someone who was quite fit and able to do some of the actual scenes through the movie. So one of my key persons for that was Christian Kane, who some people may know from the series Leverage, and Scott Kahn from the Oceans movies, or Oceans 11, 12 and 13, and also a current cast member in the Hawaii Five-O series. I think both of those people would actually have the body to carry the Flash scene, especially given that he spends a fair bit of time without his top on, and let alone the shorts that he has in the death chamber scene. I'm really not sure what
We can edit this little gap out. Or I might leave it in there just so you can be mocked mercilessly by the fans out there. His little short shorts that were for the boys and the girls in the audience who like men in short shorts.
Yes. So the shorts were a little bit of a... I've just got no idea what they were thinking at the time when they put him into those.
I can give you a little bit of an insight into the casting of Sam Jones as Flash in that movie. Apparently it was Dino De Laurentiis' mother-in-law saw him on Celebrity Squares in America and thought he was a bit of all right. So she's the one that suggested him as Flash. He was a non-actor, he was a model, and the fact that he was a non-actor actually played well into that character, who was very badly acted because he was a little bit stupid. And the fact that he had very poor acting skills actually lent itself well to the character, who was supposed to be that little bit stupid. And if they go for a campy remake, then that's something that they'll have to consider when they're putting through an actor.
So if I throw up the options of Christian Kane and Scott Kahn, where do you think you'd like to sort of go with the Flash character, Ron?
If we're going to do Flash Gordon, Flash Gordon has to be big, larger than life. Christian Kane and Scott Kahn are very short. So I actually don't see them as Flash Gordon at all because they're too short. They don't have that big persona and the big body. You don't see them as generals. Mm-hmm. If anyone, if you're going to pick someone from Hawaii Five-O, I would have gone the guy who plays
Steve
Garrett.
Yeah.
I think he's sort of got that, but I think he hasn't got the look. Mm. And if you're going to go for someone who's just that little bit simple, not a little bit stupid, and that's what he was in the role, then you need someone who's got that sort of presence, and both of those guys just have that intensity and coolness. Now, actually, Scott Kahn played stupid in the Ocean's movies, but
and he's also a bit of comedy relief in Hawaii Five-O as well. He balances out the Steve McGarrett character.
Yeah, I mean, he's brilliant. I love Scott Kahn, but I just don't see him as a Flash Gordon.
Everyone's going to see it from a different perspective. You've got someone who's a traditional, let's stick to the history version of the movie if you're looking about making a remake. But you've also got people who, you know, you might sort of think, well, let's change it around a little bit. Just because we're making the same movie, the same name, doesn't mean it has to be exactly the same movie.
And the beauty of Flash Gordon is, okay, that's 80s movies in existence, and that's what a lot of people know the Flash Gordon character as. But the whole history of it comes back to the 1930s. Different characters, different personas, different storylines. You could do a total remake and do a totally different script. You don't need to keep the characters being the same as the 80s movie. And then you might decide that, you know, Flash Gordon, is Flash Gordon a polo player? Originally he was a polo player. In other versions he was a pilot. In the 1980s movie he's a New York Jet, which was totally for the Sam Jones version of the Flash character. You have a look, you know, I've just said that those two guys I think are too short to play the Flash. They're too short to play Flash Gordon. Flash Gordon's a footballer. But Buster Cable, who played him in the 30 serials, he wasn't that big of a guy. So, yes, they probably could play if you're going to use the storyline from there. So, totally disregard what I just said. I might have to edit out because I'm going to sound like a bit of a dick. But they're quite valid choices if you're going to recast and re-split the movie like you just said. Well, those who actually follow us on Facebook will see that I put up my nominated cast, and I actually went for Paul Walker. Paul Walker is from the Fast and the Furious series. He's done a couple of other movies, but nothing really that popular. Varsity Blues was a movie I saw him in where he was actually a football player, a quarterback, so therefore I could identify him with that role if they go down that path with Flash Gordon. If you're going to play it straight, I think he could do it straight. If you're going to play it a little bit camp, I think he can do it camp. I think he's that sort of versatile. He's been in those sort of campy sort of movies. A lot of people, when I've had a look at fan casts on the internet, and a lot of people do fan casts on the internet, a lot of people have gone for Ryan Gosling. Now, I'm not sure where it came from, but apparently Ryan Gosling is interested in playing Flash. Whether it was Flash Gordon or the Flash, I'm not sure. But Ryan Gosling is now a superstar and would change the budget of this movie very much if he was involved. and would drag audiences in who just love him from The Notebook. So that would bring the non-fan, non-boys in as well. So Ryan Gosling is like a fan favourite on the internet, but personally I went for Paul Walker.
Well, I think if you had Ryan Gosling, you'd be certainly getting some of the non-fan, non-boy people through the doorway, so that the takings for the movie from the female audience would be a little bit on the higher side. So it might be a good way to go.
And what we're actually going to do today, because we don't have a third to break the tie, we're actually going to put up both lists on IMBD and link them up through our Facebook page. So feel free to have your say of who you think actually got it right.
So the second character we'd like to talk about is Dale Arden, who in the original movie was played by Melody Anderson.
I'm a New York City girl. It's a little too quiet around here for me.
I think her overacting skills are right up there.
Go, Flash, go.
Exactly. What were you thinking? My option for that, I've just gone with one person for this role. I think Kobe Smulders, who people will know from How I Met Your Mother, and who also had a recent role in...
The Avengers.
The Avengers, correct. I think she's sort of taking that leap from TV screen to the big screen, and I think that she'd sort of have the comedic type background, and also have, you know, I guess the presence and the beauty that goes along with the Dale Arden role. What do you think?
For me, for Dale Arden, I actually went with what a lot of the fan cast went with, and I went for Rachel McAdams. The character of Dale Arden is appealing to Ming. He's appealing to Flash Gordon, who falls instantly in love with her, and even Volton, to a degree, has a bit of a thing for her. So she needs to be someone who is both beautiful, but also has that girl next door quality, which I think was very well captured in the 1980s movie. She's sort of the every girl. And I think Rachel McAdams, in a lot of the movies that she's made, is very much the every girl. But she's also quite pretty and can pull off the action-y stuff like she did with Sherlock Holmes. She's got that little bit of an edge to her as well, which she can bring in. And I think she'd do a really good job in that role, and brings in a little bit of firepower in a star-wise in what is a leading role for a female in this movie. So our next character that we're going to have a talk about is the main man himself, Ming the Merciless.
I like to play with things a while before annihilation.
Well, Max von Sydow carried that role off perfectly in the movie, I thought. He was probably one of my favourite characters. If I think about how Max portrayed the role, I'd be looking at someone like an Alan Rickman, who people would know from the Harry Potter series, or Mark Dacascos, who played the role of Woe Fat, just to keep in line with a bit of an Asian theme. And Woe Fat was a character in the Hawaii Five-O series. So I think he has the look, and also keeps a little bit of the traditional link back to the 80s movie.
And being a martial artist, he can probably add a bit of physicality in confrontations with the Flash that Max von Sydow didn't. I really loved his portrayal in this movie. He was campy and over the top and seemed to enjoy it. And I think that's the sort of person you need in the role. I nominated an Asian actor as well. I went Ken Watanabe. Those who don't know the name know the face. In Batman Begins, he played the fake Ra's al Ghul. So he can rock a moustache. He was also in Inception as well, so people would know him from that as well. And I think Ming being an Asian, based on an Asian character, you might go Caucasian, or you can even go African-American if you really wanted to, if you didn't want to offend the Chinese, if you thought that would offend the Chinese. But that being said, this movie needs to appeal to Chinese audiences, and a lot of movies have actually added extra scenes or changed things in order to appeal to China's fan base there, and is one of the growing movie markets. So just recently, Iron Man 3 has actually added additional scenes to appeal to a Chinese audience in order to be exposed into that market. So if it's good enough for Iron Man, it's good enough for Flash Gordon. Irons is someone who I'm going to nominate as a potential Clytus, but I also think he could be a great Ming the Merciless. He has the voice and he has the charisma. Ralph Fiennes can do the same thing.
Sure.
But I'm actually going to go with Ken Watanabe because I think Ming should be Asian, because he was an Asian character in the movie serials, and I think we should tell the PC police to POQ. But that's just my opinion. I could be wrong.
Okay. Also, we had the role of, played by Topol, of Dr. Hans Zorka.
I don't know, but we'll try.
I've only got one nomination for that, and I think he'd be a shoo-in if we could get him involved. And that's Tim Roth from the TV series Lie to Me. Obviously, that TV series is no longer in production, and I think Tim would have a wealth of experience that he could add in. He can play a little bit quirky, a little bit funny. I think he'd sort of have the visual appearance for meeting that character as well.
When I look at casting for a movie, one of the things I also consider is budget. Do I think a Flash Gordon movie would have a $200 million budget? I don't think so. So there needs to be some roles that need to go to genuine character actors, and I think the Topol role could go to a character actor who I really like, which is Peter Stormare. You will know him from a lot of movies, but he is actually a really great character actor, and he's not going to cost a fortune. And I think he could do justice to the role. If you had an unlimited budget, I would go for Christoph Waltz, who's a two-time Academy Award winner, and would get the vocal parts down right. He speaks really well, and he is a brilliant actor. And if you had an unlimited budget and this was a dream cast, that's who I would go for. But I think Peter Stormare would be and I'm hoping I pronounced that right, would be a fantastic Hans Zarkov. The next character we're going to talk about is the femme fatale of the series, and that was Princess Aura.
Ornella Mitty, who played the role in the actual 80s movie, I think did an okay job. I guess I wouldn't be sort of running back to see her portrayal of that role anytime soon, but she did okay. If we were to think about keeping with an Asian character, I think Lucy Liu would have the physicality required to carry the role off. And also Beth Resgraf, who people would know from the TV series Leverage. I think both of them have the physical, the shape, and also the ability to do some of the fight scenes. And I think between Princess Aura and Dale Arden, I think we could also, for the male audience, I think we could sort of have a few more fight scenes between those two girls, seeing that they were both vying for the affections of Flash.
The bedroom wrestle with it.
The bedroom wrestle, yeah, absolutely.
There's a bit of a chance of a little bit of boobage.
Yeah. Well, some people are interested in the boobage, Ron.
Yeah, well, I'm one of them. For this role, I actually went with a younger actress. I think she still needed to be a little bit young and naive. So I've gone for Dietjen Nachman. She's an Australian actress, seen in Dollhouse and most recently in Last Resort. And, you know, I think she has the look and the sexuality to pull that off. So that's who I went in that role.
Yeah, well, I think we've both agreed that you'd need to have someone in that role who can carry some of the fight scenes off. It's also appealing. And, you know, you need to have that almost vixen-like appearance, I think, in that role as an alternative to the girl next door of Dale Arden, as you mentioned earlier.
Well, she's the exact opposite. So Dale Arden is the girl next door, with Princess Aura is the overtly sexual, hasn't learnt her lesson yet, has numerous lovers in the movie, and it's until she... Spoiler alert. And it's until she gets caught freeing Flash and is tortured at the hand of Clytus and Kayla that she actually learns, you know, the value of love and matures, so to speak.
Absolutely. So, well, one of the more marked points in the movie was when she actually started crying and realised that tears weren't just something of the human race, but were also part of the sci-fi universe as well.
Her culture, yeah. She would never have known tears because Ming was pretty merciless.
Correct.
Wouldn't have condoned those. She would have been slapped as a child for being...
Okay, now,
tearing up.
I'm not normally a bit of a Timothy Dalton fan. I generally didn't sort of like his portrayal of James Bond. But in the role of Prince Baron, he did okay. He camped it up a fair bit.
This day on, that every breed of mongrel live together in peace.
And I think a shoo-in for that role in a new version of the Flash Gordon movie would be Gerard Butler. I think he's got the comic ability, but he's also got the look, the appeal to the women, and he's also a reasonably good actor. He's got the voice for it as well, so he'd be my pick.
I actually went a younger path. I think Prince Baron in the movie is young and naive, which is why he falls easily under the spell of Princess Aura. I loved Timothy Dalton in this role, and when he was announced as the new James Bond, I thought he would be fantastic if he brought the Prince Baron persona to it. As it turned out, he went ultra serious and went all gruff and nasty, and he wasn't a great Bond at all. So, but I really loved him as the Baron. I've actually got the action figure of him as Prince Baron, and I think you need a young actor who can play the naivety but also has the physical prowess, because I think in this you'd want to see a bit more action from... And Prince Baron has a lot of fight scenes in the movie, so a little bit more action. So I went with Prince Caspian himself, Ben Barnes, as my choice for Prince Baron, because, one, I think he's got the prowess with the swords, because he's proven that in Prince Caspian, but also he can pull off that naivete that I think is needed for Baron to fall under the spell and be totally in love and enraptured by Princess Aura. So he's the one that I went with for that role. Jared Butler as Prince Baron.
Mm-hmm.
Jared Butler's actually, I think, would be an awesome Volton. And yeah, a lot of fan favourites put him as Volton. And I think what you've done there is done the thing that I'm about to say is not how I would do it.
Mm.
You've gone for your favourites in different roles.
Yeah, but I'm not the fanboy. I'm happy to say things that people don't agree with.
Yeah, no, as long as you're happy to put that in, I'll put that in. Part of the reason I'm doing the way I do how I do it is I do it based on the character, and I don't try and fit my favourite actors into a role just because I want them into a role. I try and fit in an actor that suits the character and can portray the character, because it's about the character. So not every role is going to have a star in it.
Mm.
Not every role is going to have... like a superstar or a fan favourite like Jessica Biel, who everybody loves. You do have to get actresses and actors who are the character actors, that second tier, the upper, that could fulfil one of these mid-level roles and maybe even stand out. Like Alan Rickman stole Prince of Thieves, and someone in a lesser role could really...
Often the secondary actor that will actually steal a movie anyway. Like whenever you see a theatre show, it's often the comedic relief that gets the biggest applause. As opposed to the main cast members.
And that's like Brian Blessed in this. He really jumped out as the fan favourite because he had the fun role. He got to bang people on the
head. And he developed his character a little bit.
And he was big and he was brash and he was great. And I think when you're casting for a movie, that's the sort of thing you need to look out for. You need to say, well, who is a young up-and-coming actor who can play that role and play that character? I think you always need to link it back to who could play the character, and some people will surprise you and they can play a character you've not seen them before. And a lot of actors get pigeonholed, and when we do these fan casts, we do tend to pigeonhole actors. We've seen them in something before, like me with Prince Caspian with Ben Barnes, but I actually think him and his look, age, charisma as a future possible James Bond, I think Prince Baron is a good audition for a future James Bond role, which is why I actually chose him. I think that's important when you're doing a fan cast. And when we go through our fan cast, we're going to agree to disagree a number of times, because that's my approach, whereas you're taking it purely as, this is my opinion, and this is who I like in that role, and this is who I want to see in that role.
But for some of them, I've also thought, you know, like I think Gerard Butler could play that role, because, like, he might be a little bit on the older side, but I've seen him do that sort of half quirky comedic part, like when he played in, again, opposite Rachel McAdam in P.S. I Love You.
Yeah.
There was a sense of fun about him, but there was also a serious side and also a sad side. Like, so he's played a multiple part of characters, even though he was only in it for, you know, a part of the movie, and then he died and whatever, but his character changed throughout different parts of the movie.
Could he do the role? Yes, he could. Is he too old for the role? I think he is. Would he be overpriced for that role, potentially? I actually think his persona, and for him to have fun in this role, if you're going to do the campy, he would be the Jack Black type who would play Prince Volton.
But moving along to Volton, he was played by William Hootkins in the movie.
No, he wasn't.
It was listed as?
No, that you got that wrong, remember?
Oh, okay.
Brian Blessed. You can't get this wrong, and I'm going to edit it out so you don't sound stupid.
Okay.
Brian Blessed is a fanboy favourite.
Oh, okay.
He was awesome in the role, and he is well and truly loved, so I'm editing that out so you don't sound too...
Good.
Or I might leave it in, because it's funny.
No.
That was physical violence, white ribbon, white ribbon, white ribbon.
I walk into a door! The role of Walton, I think, who was played by Brian Blessed, and from my understanding, is one of the loved characters of the fanboy population. I think that role was an integral part of the movie, and I, for my alternatives for this, I've got Billy Gardell, who people may know from Mike and Molly. I think just he's got the humour, he's got the build, and I think he could add a fair bit to the movie. Another alternative is Kevin James, who people would know from the movie Hitch, and also Kings of Queens, Don't Mess with the Zohan. Fantastic comedic actor, and could definitely sort of add a little bit of oomph to the role. And my third alternative, who possibly is probably a little bit on the older side, but Simon Callow, who was one of the original cast members in the Doctor Who series and was also the kilt-wearing member of the Four Weddings and the Funeral team with Hugh Grant. A very good comedic actor, and could certainly add a little bit of oomph to what is quite a funny role throughout the film.
Anyone who has to follow Brian Blessed as Prince Walton is got a real job to do, because he is my favourite character, and he was my favourite character as a kid. He brings the comedy relief, he has presence, he's big, bold, brassy personality. Simon Callow is too old. When Marty mentioned him to me before and I had a look at his age, he's in his 60s now. He was fantastic in Four Weddings and a Funeral, and if we can go back 20 years and grab him from then, he would be awesome in the role, and I think he could carry it off really well. Billy is a bit meh for me, to be honest, and Kevin James I think is actually an interesting choice. I'll need to now watch him in Here Comes the Boom and see how he pulls off a fighting character, just to see if he could do that. Who I went with, though, was Jack Black. Jack Black has that big, bold personality, and he has the look. He can pull off the grin. He is Brian Blessed in an American form. And I actually think, to me, he was sort of born to portray the Brian Blessed version of Voltan. If they're going to go in the over-the-top way. So I think he could, he should and will be in that role, or pursuit for that role, if that evidence was to ever come up.
And I think with you saying about Jack Black, I think even if they were to go down a bit more of a serious path with the Flash Gordon movie, Jack Black would still be of value to the show.
In bringing that comedy.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. And I think even in any serious movie, you still need that, you know, laugh out loud moment for the audience, or something that just lightens up a bit of a heavy scene.
Breaks the tension, gives
absolutely.
You a giggle.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so I think Jack Black could do that really well.
Detective, Your Majesty, will you destroy this?
The next character that we'd like to talk about is Clitus. Now, for reasons only about his voice, I've gone with Anthony Hopkins here. I think it doesn't necessarily matter if you've got a young Clitus or an older one. I think it does need to be a mature actor. And even though Anthony's getting a little bit on the mature side now, I think he definitely has the voice to carry this role. And I think it would, you know, be a bit of a good cameo if at some point during the movie the helmet or the costume came off and you realised who it was behind.
We are agreeing to disagree a lot in this podcast, because I actually would not want the helmet to come off. I'm a bit like the fanboys with Judge Dredd. The helmet belongs on Clitus. I jokingly put up Julian McMahon as Clitus, because Julian McMahon played Dr. Doom, and they have a very similar type look, both wearing the mask. Actually, and in high, Julian McMahon could do the role very well. He's got the voice, and you can put on the persona of Clitus, and Clitus is a very important character in the movie and in the series, because he is actually the person they interact with the most as the nemesis. So it is actually an important role. I think Kevin Wingard was the actor who played him, and his voice was awesome as Clitus. So I think you need another actor of that caliber. So yes, Anthony Hopkins has that great voice too. He's too old, or you need someone else under the mask and just use his voice. And you could have a very alien presence under the mask if you had Anthony Hopkins. So I think that's viable if you want to have his voice in there. So, but I also think Jeremy Irons could really do a great job in there. And if you don't pick Jeremy as your Ming the Merciless, I'd definitely have him as a Clitus. And I love his voice, and it's sort of got that menace and and stuff in it as well. And Alan Rickman, who you chose as Ming, he's also got that sort of voice and could pull this off really well. So yeah, on the IMDb, I put in Julie McMahon, but I'd actually probably go for Jeremy Irons if push came to shove.
The next role is the role of Carla. I don't necessarily think that you need someone of superstar power for this, but I've actually gone with Demi Moore. I just think she's still got a youngish but a bit of a devilish type look about her, you know, and still obviously looking for work post Ashton Kutcher. Yeah, and I don't think she was a really big part of the movie. I didn't really find the character all that attractive in terms of, you know, wanting to watch her scenes throughout the movie. But where do you stand with this one, Ron?
Once again, we'll agree to disagree, because I actually think General Kayla isn't a very important part in the role in the movie, because she unleashed Ajax. And she also dialed it up from 3 to 6. So I actually think it's one of the key roles, and she's one of the other villains. But a bit like what you said, though, she doesn't have a lot of personality in the movie, which I think is deliberate. She has that sort of aloofness. And when I was considering someone to play that role, I immediately thought of Grace Jones, but she's a little bit old now, but she sort of had that creepy aloofness. I actually went with a Cylon. I tossed up between Lucy Lawless and Tricia Helfer, but I went with Tricia Helfer because I like to see her in anything, even in that nice tight black lit unitard. She'd pull it off very well. And actually, Lucy Lawless cuts a fine figure too and could pull off the same sort of role and do a good job. So that's who I went for, General Pay.
I think with the range of actresses that we've talked about, we've certainly got all the fanboys covered off with a little bit of visual entertainment throughout this movie so far, just with the characters that we've already discussed.
One of the characters we haven't discussed, Prince Thun, was in the movie. Those who remember the 1980s movie, who remember the movie when and saw them offering tribute, Prince Thun didn't have anything for tribute, so he had to fall on his sword. Spoiler alert. Had to fall on his sword. And that character, Prince Thun, is actually a lot bigger in the original comic series and in other movies and presentations. So I would actually like to see him come back. For budget reasons, I obviously couldn't bring in a Lion Man, but I think now with the way special effects are and that they're reasonably cheap to do something like that, I think they should really bring in Prince Thun. If you're going to remake the movie, I think you've got to change some of the scenes, but I think Prince Thun could join him as a prisoner of Prince Baron and escape from before he heads off to the Sky City. And for me, I went Adam Copeland for that role. WWE fans might know him as Edge. I just think he has the look and the jawline, the rated R superstar persona that could really pull off a true Lion Man. So that's who I went for, a potential Prince Thun.
And I think one of the other things we could throw in, just as a bit of a cameo role, some people might not necessarily have picked it up, but there was a small scene by Robbie Coltrane at the very start of the movie, at the airport scene. I think if you could get him back to do a little bit of a cameo role in some part, it sort of just links the past with the present. What do you think on that, Ron?
I fully agree. I think he could play, there's a number of different roles he could play in there, but that I would definitely try and get Robbie Coltrane in. I think Sam Jones, if you could probably bring him in as one of the Hawkmen, even. In the background there, Brian Blessed's still alive, Timothy Dalton's still alive, so... getting a couple of them into the scenes, into a couple of things, I think would be just fun and a little bit of a nod to the fanboys. So I think that could be awesome if they could pull that off. You've offered up a couple of suggestions. Would you like to go through your final cast, please?
Okay, my final cast for Flash Gordon. I think I'll end up going with Christian Kane from Leverage. I think he's got that... the look that would sort of match with a Sam Jones type character. For Dale Arden, my choice for that would be Cody Smulders. For Emperor Ming, the role played by Max von Sydow, I think I'll go with Mark Dacascos on that one, just to keep the Asian theme continuing. The role of Dr. Han Zorkov was Tim Roth. The role of Princess Aura, I think just going with Lucy Liu, I think she's had a bit of history with the action movies and also having a little bit more star power in filling up the character positions. Prince Baron, well, my selection there was Gerard Butler. Clytus, Anthony Hopkins. I think if we could get Anthony involved in the movie, that would be absolutely wonderful. Carla, Demi Moore, but I think I might lean to Ron's option on that one. And the role of Volton, I think I'll go with Kevin James on that one, Ron.
I couldn't sway you to Jack Black.
No, you can't sway me to Jack Black.
Fair enough. So, when push comes to shove, we've agreed to disagree. I'd love to hear what the fans out there have to say. And feel free to criticise one way or another, but be nice to Marty. You can be mean to me. You can catch us on our Facebook page, which is Facebook.
And what's that again, Ron?
That search for us as Fantasy Casting Agency. You can also get us at fantasycastingagency@gmail.com. Or you can catch me on Twitter, RonnieB013. And I'm happy to start getting tweets from fans. Your suggestions for movies and shows, I've got plenty lined up and plenty of guest co-hosts as well. And if people have a really strong interest in a particular movie cast and think they have something to offer on the podcast, more than happy to have a chat to you as well about potentially being one of the co-hosts.
And thanks very much for having me in, Ron. It's been an absolute pleasure, and I probably won't be jumping back to see the Flash Gordon movie again, but I can now tick it off.
You're also going to take a little break from the podcast for our next episode. We're actually going to be looking at Masters of the Universe, and I'll be getting Nath from Animation Nation as a special co-host for that particular episode, while you're off gallivanting for work over in Western Australia.
Yes, Perth, here I come.
Well, thank you, everybody. Thank you for the feedback. Thank you for listening. We do appreciate it. Please send back more feedback. As I said earlier, this show is for you as well, so you're our audience. We'd like to entertain you, so if we can...
And I think we need to finish with a bit of Flash... Ah!
Most effective, Your Majesty. Will you destroy this earth?
Later. I like to play with things a while. Before annihilation.
This podcast was brought to you by the Big Top Network.